Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Daniel, and we're in chapter 11. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Now, I mentioned to you that Antiochus was introduced a moment ago, right? Seleucus gave way to Antiochus. This is the king of the north. You may have heard of Antiochus. You heard of Antiochus Epiphanes. He's the person who symbolizes Antichrist. He's the mini Antichrist. He's the one who speaks great swelling words. We're going to find him, but this is not that Antiochus. This is his dad. Okay, so Antiochus the Great comes, and he is the one who thought he could take down the king of the south, but he couldn't. The king of the south, when he had taken away, in verse 12, the multitude, his heart shall be lifted up, and he shall cast down many 10,000s, but he shall not be strengthened by it. He won't be strengthened by it. Why? Because verse 13, for the king of the north shall return, and he shall set forth a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come, and after certain years, about 14 years we know from history, with a great army and with much riches. And in those times, there shall many stand up against the king of the south. Also, the robbers of thy people shall exalt themselves to establish the vision, but they shall fall. So the king of the north shall come and cast up a mount and take the most fenced cities and arms of the south. And the arms of the south shall not withstand, neither his chosen people, neither shall there be any strength to withstand. Now, what he's just told us is that they're coming back and they're going to have great riches. Now, he's coming back with a greater army, and the way that this was accomplished was pretty profound. You see, when Antiochus was handily dealt with, what ends up happening is the sons and all the people stirred up. They go out and do a lot of victories elsewhere. And so by the time they got back 14 years later, they had an immense army, and they came down and they dealt with the king of the south. So Seleucus gave way to Antiochus the Great. And the king of the north is now Antiochus the Great. And so the Bible says in verse 15, so the king of the north shall come and cast up a mount, and they shall take most of the fenced cities. And the arms of the south shall not withstand, neither his chosen people, meaning his best soldiers, neither shall there be any strength to withstand. But he that cometh against him shall do according to his own will, and none shall stand before him, and he shall stand in the glorious land, which by his hand shall be consumed. Now, two things I want you to pick up here. Verse 14 says, in those times there shall many stand up against the king of the south, also the robbers of thy people. Underline that. That is the Israelites. These are people who are in place like the Hellenists were in Jesus' time. They were Hellenists that said, we need to sell out. And there have always been people like that. The robbers of their people would be people who actually sold out their own people in order to get what they thought was the best deal that was on the horizon. I want you to kind of fast forward to modern day. You guys have heard of George Soros, right? We know his backstory if we paid attention much, because it's been brought out to light, especially in recent days. This is a man who is bankrolling a whole lot of things against our country. And he's got all these little organizations, and he's got all this money. And where did he get his wealth? He got it from World War II, and he began to sell out the Jewish people, which he is a Jew. And he now thinks he's God himself. That's who he thinks he is. And he is a nation killer. He's kind of crippled nation after nation after nation. And he's always had his sights on America. And now he's funding a lot of the things that we're dealing with in our day. So he would be one of the robbers of thy people, okay, in the sense that they were exploited and he was trying to find the best place to stand. This is not new, but it happened among the people of God. But it also says this king of the north will come and shall stand in the glorious land. When the king of the north came down, the robbers of the people got behind him. They were all part of the conspiracy to get down there and take down Egypt. And now we have in verse 15 that the king of the south would not be able to withstand them. And it says, but he that cometh, in verse 16, against him shall do according to his own will, and none shall stand before him, and he shall stand in the glorious land, which by his hand shall be consumed. There's a little foreshadowing going on here. You see, this king Antiochus is going to be one that's going to really deal with Israel in a very bad way. The Bible says in verse 17, he also shall set his face to enter with strength of his whole kingdom, and upright ones with him. Thus shall he do. Now, upright ones with him, that's also Israel. Underline that. These are all Israel. They're called upright ones. It's called the glorious land. And they're called the robbers of my people. He says he's going to set his face to enter into the with the strength of his whole kingdom. And upright ones will be with him. It's kind of a criticism. These upright ones are supposed to be on my team, but they're throwing in with them. Now, some of the things that Antiochus does is he takes and he overcomes the priesthood. And when he overcomes the priesthood, he installs his own priests. And then he begins to kind of work from the priesthood out, and he begins to corrupt the people of God. Now, I don't want to go too much further with this because I want to get to my main point. But you're seeing it, right? There's so much specificity here. South, north, Bernice. There's going to be a marriage here in a minute to Cleopatra. Cleopatra, you remember her? I mean, this is the stuff that's going on back here. And what we're seeing is that Antiochus the Great circumvents the people of God. They're going back and forth all the time. It's the glorious land. You guys remember the story of Alexander when he was dealing with, it's out of the Josephus' histories. We remember he comes to the glorious land. But when he comes with a vendetta. He had been working on Tyre and Sidon. He was going to destroy Tyre and Sidon, which is just off the shore. It was a hard place to be. And he was running out of food and supplies. And so he says, he goes down to Jerusalem. He says, we need help. And they said, we can't help you. We've made covenants with other people. And ultimately what ends up happening is that when he gets that word, he says, well, when I get done here, you're going down. You're done. I'll deal with you when I get done here. You needed to just come to heal, but they wouldn't. And so when they finally took down the Tyre and Sidon area, they come down, and as they crest the hill, they see the city of Jerusalem. And as they see it, the gates are wide open. All the priests are standing aside to one another, and the high priest at the front, and they're all in their holy garb. This is written in the Josephus, the histories. And then what happens is Alexander tells all of his armies to stay back. And when they stay back to that point where they had seen from the first what was going on down there. Alexander and his right-hand man go down to the gates alone on horseback. And then Alexander dismounts his horse and he goes over in front of that high priest and he bows down. And his second is sitting there thinking, what are you doing? Are you worshiping the man? He says, I'm not worshiping that man. I'm worshiping the God that man represents. And he confided in him and said, because when I started my campaign, I had a dream. And in that dream, I saw this man in that garb and all these people in those gates. And I was told in that dream that I would conquer the world. That was Alexander the Great. After this grand showdown, when God was there, they all went inside, they gave victuals to all of the soldiers, and they sat down with Alexander the Great, and they opened the Bible, and they said, you are in our Bible. And they showed them the leopard of Daniel. In the end, what ends up happening is, he goes his way, promising not to wipe them out, and asking, is there anything else I can do for you? And they solicited two requests. The only one I can remember right now, and it's pertinent in our passage, is they said, don't overtax us. And he exempted them from that, and then something else. What amazing God we serve. So Alexander goes away and leaves Jerusalem unmolested. And when you look down in verse 20, you see that there comes along in Antiochus the Great's line, a raiser of taxes. Because Alexander the Great is gone now. We're talking about the Medes and the Persians. And we see this raiser of taxes, which is kind of a breaking of the covenant that was made with Alexander. Okay, so now you're touching the people of God. And the Bible says in the state of this raiser of taxes, it says that he's going to only be on the stage for a little while. There's some tribute that's placed upon the northern kingdom from the southern, and he has to pay them. And as a result of having to pay the south, he raises taxes and starts really milking all the people. And the Bible says, but he within a few days he shall be destroyed, neither by anger nor in battle. In other words, it's believed he was poisoned. He was a raiser of taxes. But then it says, in his estate shall stand up a vile person. Now, if you want to circle that, that's Antiochus Epiphanes coming into play. And he shall come in peaceably and shall obtain the kingdom by flatteries. This guy is like the Antichrist. You guys have read about the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the white horse. And on that white horse rides a conqueror who goes forth to conquer, conquering and to conquer. And he has a bow in his hand, but he has no arrow. Most scholars believe that means that he conquers with flatteries. He conquers with political savvy. Somebody was talking about, what does the Third World War look like? I think we're looking at it right now. One nation attacked all the other nations with Wuhan virus. Think about that. They released it, and it's been proven that they knew it was worse than it was, and they didn't tell anybody, and they controlled the World Health Organization. You want to know what the World War III looks like? You're kind of looking at it. A few people have shotguns in places that got a little heated, but not only because there's other things going on, but there's an effort to overthrow America right now. This is like the Antichrist here, the vile person. The Bible says he shall stand up in his estate, a vile person to whom they shall not give the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. That's what happened with Antiochus Epiphanes. Antiochus Epiphanes, his name Epiphanes was not given to him. It was something he personalized for himself. It means glorious one, like an epiphany. I'm awesome. And he was very full of himself. The Bible says in verse 22, he's coming in with flatteries, and with the arms of a flood they shall be overflown from before him and shall be broken. That's all the people that would stand against him. Yea, also the prince of the covenant. Now, so that's probably the breaking of a covenant that they had where they were paying taxes to the south. He's going to also deal with the prince of the covenant by breaking that covenant. Verse 23 says, and after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. And he shall enter peaceably, even unto the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among the prey and spoil and riches, yea, he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time. And he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south. And with a great army, the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great mighty army too. But he shall not stand, for he shall forecast devices, meaning Antiochus will forecast devices against him. Yea, they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him. So in other words, he's paying off people as well. He's mustering and he's getting huge and he's getting stronger and he's getting bigger and he's getting mightier. And many shall fall down slain, verse 26. And both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table. In other words, when it's all done, they're going to come and parlay, but both of them are figuring out what they can do to get advantage over the other one. And it says, they will speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Then shall he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant, and he shall do exploits and return to his own land. Now, what's fascinating about this particular verse, and it's a verse you want to put a star by, on his way back to the north, he actually attacks Jerusalem. He's so full of spit and vinegar right now, he's saying, I'm going to do some damage. You know, I hate these people anyway. And so he attacks Jerusalem, the metropolis of Jehovah's covenant people. And he slew 80,000 Jews. And he took 40,000 prisoners and sold the 40,000 as slaves. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.